You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
So, was anybody else here expecting for Alec Baldwin to randomly become Malin Ackerman's imaginary friend by the end of this?
I don't know.
That
would have
been kind of funny.
That seems pretty suspect, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just because Alec Baldwin's been my imaginary friend ever since I like tripped on mushrooms and watched Cat in the Hat one day. Oh, anyways, man. Guys, hey, I'm Nathan, and we're covering a movie called Chick Fights. It's a Redbox movie, which, hey, I guess Redbox is making movies. But yeah, just that soft applause for for Redbox. With me, I got Adrian, the masked El Critico.
Hey, hey.
And then I have Matt, nickname not found, invalid, Foster.
I hail from parts unknown.
And then I got Jordan Cobb.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I am the surf and turf breaker. I love seafood, steak dinners, and beating the shit out of trans-exclusionary radical feminists, bro. Yeah, let's fucking fight in the cage of rights. Yeah.
Oh, man.
For all the people who don't have video subscribe,
this is the
Adrian
reason get it.
And Jordan really committed to their bit. Well, me and Matt are
this ain't
just
a bit,
kinda,
bro. This
like,
is life. This is
I mean,
today.
Maybe not really so much committed. I mean, the movie's about a cage match, and this is just I just happen to have a Mexican luchador mask, so I figured it's something. It's kind of related, you know.
To be
just
fair,
happen to have it for bedroom purposes.
To be fair, I am always in my Hacksaw Jim Duggan costume because I never take it off.
All right, well, I'm ready to talk about this movie, or else I'm going to make you snap or tap.
I'm semi-inebriated in, like, PJ pants / sweatpants, so I'm playing the Alec Baldwin role of this film.
Right on.
So, hey, guys.
He seemed like he was drinking real drinks.
Did it not,
That
though?
Is actually a very good possibility.
Yeah. So, Chick Fight basically stars Malin Ackerman, who plays a woman who is pretty much flat broke. Like, she gets to the level...
Her life sucks.
Yeah, her life absolutely sucks. She gets to the level where, you know, she reaches for toilet paper and there is none there. That is probably the best visual
manifestation
of being broke that I've seen in a long time.
If we're being real, though, she's kind of white broke because she always does have, like, coffee.
Always going.
Right, that's only because like,
I only have money for mochas, but I don't have money for fucking toilet paper and basic human necessities. But
yalla,
her and her friend basically. Well, her friend sort of introduces her to a female-based fight club that her mother used to be involved in, and she ends up training to fight against the. Would you call it like the heavyweight champion or the contender?
Just the
baddest
just
bitch in the whole place. Like no one stacks up with her. No one wants to fight her. She's scary. Yeah. She's
no,
Bella Thorne.
Just not a good woman. Yeah, played by Bella Thorne, which is appropriate given how she fucked over sex workers on OnlyFans.
Damn. All right.
Yeah, I was about
well,
to say,
I,
Bella
I don't want
to
follow that up
because
I kind of like her.
But, no, I like her too.
But yeah, so that's basically the whole premise. And what it really leads to is, I would say, a film that, while it isn't one of my favorite comedies of the year, it's got some of my favorite comedic performances I've seen all year. Especially out of Kevin Nash and Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, I gotta say, this movie wasn't on a surprise. I generally just wasn't gonna think much of it, but I ended up having a real good time. And I've always been of the mind that Maylene Ackerman is, like, far, far better when she's doing comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm still going to champion this show because it only got one season. And
Trophy Wife?
Fucking fair. Trophy Wife.
So good.
I absolutely love that show, and you should watch it. But here, she is absolutely a believable lead. Like,
she's...
Yeah, she is. Yeah, it's like, wow, your life fucking sucks. And it sort of gets hilarious just how much they start piling on. And they don't overdo it just to the point where you're like, okay, it's getting kind of hard to believe. But yeah, she honestly helps carry this movie. But you are right. Alec Baldwin and... Unexpectedly, I wasn't expecting Kevin Nash to be in this movie, but hey, I love Kevin Nash ever since, you know, the days of Diesel Power in WWF. Here he is super funny.
For the uninitiated at home, Kevin Nash is a giant pro wrestler that played a super macho pro wrestling character and is cast against type here as her her late
pansexual father.
Yeah, her late in life pansexual, coming out as non straight father, and it's pretty funny, and it's also played very with relative dignity. It's not like overly camped, even though like it's a comedy beat, but they're not like punching down. And it's
a comedy beat that follows the rule of thirds really well as far as comedy and.
Especially with Alec Mapa as his partner Chuck, they don't run that joke into the ground. They absolutely make it.
Oh, what's great is
I really want to agree with y'all. I did like this movie. I think this is better, way better than something like, I don't know, Bad Moms, but also not as good as, I don't know, another similar film. But and part of that was because I felt like the jokes were really on and off, and it kept doing this thing of like, let's have one punchline, but let's also have another character either explain the joke or try to add their own punchline to it. And it felt at some points kind of exhausting, which for me is a shame because I was kind of actually digging this way more than I thought I would.
Definitely. Just kind of back on the Kevin Nash train, what's great about his performance throughout this entire movie that really killed me is every time Maylene Ackerman comes up to him, he is definitely in the middle of some serious sex shit.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah.
He doesn't play it like he's like, there's no like over the topness to it. Whatever situation he's in is over the top, well, and he's just trying to act as normal as possible.
It's not played up like some TGIF Friday family sitcom bullshit. Yeah.
Part of what
think of gay people. It's really funny. Yeah.
Part of what they're doing is that part of her life problems is she's probably supposed to be early or mid 30s. And so part of what's going on is her dad is an empty nester. And taking this angle on him being an empty nester sort of deflects, like, he's busy. She can't just move back in with him.
Right.
He's having a life and finally getting out of his shell after the death of her mother. And it would be very heelish of her to disrupt that. So she doesn't. It plugs the plot hole of why doesn't she just get family help? And so it serves the plot, and that helps integrate it. And I don't know. I call these working vacation movies. They're those things like another one like this. Actually, this reminded me a lot of Here Comes the Boom with Kevin James. Where like, I saw it on a $5 Tuesday. I saw it on a $5 Tuesday. I was expecting it to give me a splitting headache, and it was fine. You know, a bunch of good people with one movie left on their contract gave a good performance, and they made a, you know, it's a $20 million comedy that probably made $45 million. You know, it did what it was supposed to do, but it's not, there are some, as much as I liked everybody in the movie, the plot will make your brain turn off because there's some stuff going on. Like, they have an informal practice at the fight club that if you challenge someone and lose, like, you have to leave the fight club. But there's also this subplot with the ownership of the fight club that gets tied up in that. And Olivia Bella Thorne's character is just evil. She just likes to fight, and she's rich.
Yeah.
And she just...
Yeah, she doesn't see that. See, it's been established that Mary's mom was a therapist. And she, you know, just sort of developed all this as a way, you know, as a non-judgmental way for women to, like, further, like, truly take out their aggressions with the world. Just, like, really attack things head on. Whereas, one of my flaws is that there isn't much to Olivia. As much as I actually like Olivia, you know, and Bella Thorne's just super over the top, she knows what she's doing performance about. Just like, she's like Johnny from fucking Karate Kid. Haven't seen Cobra Kai yet, so don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, she for sure is.
But it's like without any sort of self awareness.
Yeah.
The problem I ran into was the plot revolves around the fact that they have to honor this challenge where if you, and so what it is like the first crop of fight clubbers was Malin Ackerman's mom's therapy clients, and now a new generation of people are coming in and they're hostile to the previous one, and they're challenging them and making them all leave, but they're just kind of ignoring the fact that that doesn't, they can't win the deed to the building like that in real life, and nor can they. Nor do they have to honor it. They can just stop calling the mean girls. They don't. Right. They don't even. You know.
I did want to correct. Maylene Ackerman plays Anna. Mary is the mother. I got that totally
confused. Oh, it's cool.
But yeah, that sort of falls apart. But I do want to highlight two things. One, Alec Baldwin's my favorite thing about this movie. Just being.
He's so fucking great in this. What I Maylene love about
Ackerman's perpetually drunk Burgess Meredith from Rocky. Yeah.
The thing about him is you'd expect him to be a washed up wrestler, but he's just a dude who gets into a lot of bar fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the time.
There is correlation, but.
There's correlation, but hardly. I will say on my list of sort of cons of this movie, there's like a third act romance plot line that comes the fuck out of nowhere. And it's just so unnecessary.
Zero chemistry between Malin Ackerman and Kevin Connolly. And it's not even their fault. I mean, I think Malin Ackerman is okay in this. I think she's maybe
she's been better in other things.
And of the funny performances in this, I think hers was kind of the weakest. And also I don't mind Kevin Connolly. He plays her love interest doctor. But there's zero chemistry behind them.
It's,
yeah.
To the point where, once the romance comes in, it's like, where did this even come from?
This phenomenon needs to have a TV tropes page because it is a straightening couple.
Yeah.
It's where they realize, like, a martial arts movie is all men or something has too much of a, it's all women.
Yeah, it's a, it case
of too,
the
not has much too much girl power. Or... So we better put a guy, a boy meets girl in it. And it's right, always specifically a boy meets girl.
It does come out of nowhere for like no good fucking reason. And yet I was also thinking, this is one of the better times I enjoy seeing Kevin Connolly. Maybe it's because he's not, I don't get the douche rays coming off of him
from Entourage.
And by the way, I get douche rays off of him even outside of Entourage. That just came out of nowhere. So I really didn't enjoy that aspect. The other thing I did enjoy, the fights were actually pretty good. I liked the fight choreography. These were actually well shot.
Yeah, they do some really cool stuff with slow motion that, I don't know, it just gives it like a little more edge. All the
they
fights
do the speed ramp
seem,
Zack Snyder thing, but not ad nauseum.
It's
all
not
the
excessive.
Fights also seem really painful. And
yeah, they're
so
choreographed in a really fun. Yeah, it's a really fun style that like splits the difference between like a, it has a level of precisely comedic realism. Like it's not.
Yeah.
It's not quite fantasy violence, and it's also not quite like Rocky Balboa slow motion of the guy's cheeks flapping in the, you know, right, in the aftermath of being hit. It's
But it still feels like it definitely hurts. It feels like there's good stunt work being done.
I have one big gripe. I really did not like her best friend character played by Dulce Sloan from the Daily Show.
She's on and off with me. I think she does have some funny lines. She has my favorite line of the movie. But yeah, then there were other times where it almost seemed like, should we even have this character in 2020?
Yeah, especially with our current, like, and I don't like to take, you know, current landscapes with how, you know, I reflect on movies, but this movie's coming out right now, and this character is like a corrupt cop to the level where if this were Training Day, she would be a villain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's like a fundamentally, she's like a political traitor within the police department. She's like perform. she's like doing performative minimal compliance. You know, like like the thoughts slime do exactly enough to not get fired video. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, I was mixed on her too. She had some really good lines. Like I especially love, like, hey, you see your barista? I'm a fucker.
Oh yeah, how aggressive she is. It is pretty funny.
I'm a fucker. And I lick her up and down. And I honestly found that hilarious. Then again, maybe it's just because I'm a horny lesbian stuck in the middle of nowhere. I don't know. But yeah, she is a bit much. And I thought with her being like a cop that hates the police, I thought, okay, that could be a fun character. That could be like a nice dynamic of something. They don't really do anything with that.
Yeah, my thing is, it adds such another level of weight. Like, who the fuck is this? That it just sort of backs away from it until it's necessary for the plot.
I mean, yeah, there's something they could have done with it. Like, you know, she knows one of the other fighters at the club because she just busted her son for trying to sell drugs.
Oh yeah, which comes up as a plot convenience later on.
But I'm just saying, again, I thought they were gonna do something interesting like that with her, just like, oh yeah, I'm in the system because I want to fuck up the system. Fuck the system. They don't really do anything with that, and really, it's just wasted opportunity.
I did think, like, I agree with Adrian, like the humor was really mixed here, and the best humor in this is the physical stuff in the ring, and the stuff with Alec Baldwin and Malin Ackerman by themselves. There's some really uneven stuff here, and a couple things that, like, there's one part where they call like a South Asian person Abu.
And oh my god, that got me too.
There's Malin Ackerman at one point as a reason to introduce her to Kevin Connolly. She gets a sports ball to the crotch like Mole Man on Simpsons.
Yeah,
it's just like a completely out of nowhere, and it completely stops the movie. And she gets hit in the area so hard she has to go to the doctor and meet Kevin Donnelly that way.
Yeah, and it turns into
okay, or no, so no, that's fair. Not if true. He's the Fight Club doctor. She meets him as a civilian that way and gets his digits.
He's the doctor. He's the only man allowed because he's the brother of Bear, who is like who's pretty much the ring announcer promoter, who is played by Fortune Feimeister.
Feimster? Feimster? Sorry about that, Bear.
I always
But moving on to final thoughts, everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to start with you, Adrian.
Yeah.
Because I know you loved it more than everybody else.
This feels like a Redbox movie. It feels like it belongs to that studio for sure. Or just wait till it's on Netflix. I can't say rush out to see this. But I won't say avoid it either. This is pretty fun. At least it's fun enough. It's a single service film that does a little things here and there that are special. But overall, it's kind of just okay and maybe could be better. But I don't know. I don't want to judge it too much. The only thing I'll really judge here is the soundtrack, which I thought maybe you guys are on a budget. And you can't. I do realize terrible. You can't have top 40 music, but you got the worst top 40 like imitations, and it is uncomfortable on the ears. Also,
the phrase I use is claustrophobic. It's bad, and it's everywhere. It's intrusive.
Also, you don't stock need the sound top effects, 40
radio.
Like,
we got the top 40 radio at home.
Like, go ahead, use stock sound effects, but don't do the same one 4 or 5 times in like under a minute. That is ridiculous. And it
only Indiana Jones can do that.
And it just comes off as like, yeah, this is a budget movie. But I don't know. It's fine. I give this 2.5. I never thought I was gonna say Bella Thorne's pretty good in this out of 5.
All right, Jordan.
Again, I found this movie to be quite a surprise. I found myself enjoying it more than I didn't. Like I said, Maylene Ackerman, always a great comedic lead, and I really liked her here. But the bright spot is Alec Baldwin, who just... I just cracked up every time he was on. And there's some really good performances. Like I said, I even really like Bella Thorne. And I thought the fight scenes, the choreography, stunt work, actually really damn good. This movie does halt its tracks quite a bit for lame romantic subplot, some bad jokes, and a really terrible soundtrack. I couldn't stop thinking about how fucking bad that was. But honestly, it just like a little over 90 minutes, I really found myself just having a bit of a fun time with it. It was really cool. So I would recommend renting it from Redbox. This isn't like gonna be high up on my favorites list by the end of the year, but you know, I found myself enjoying it. So I'll give it like 6 out of 10 of the finest affliction or tap out shirts circa 2019 to 2010.
Tap out.
And Matt?
I think I would say like I think we're all kind of in a similar place where like this was fun but like not something to seek out. Like in the days of network TV, I would have watched this if it was on. You know? Right. If that makes sense. Like it's a thing where like you're clicking through on a Sunday and you're like, it's this or cricket. You know? And it's not bad on that level. It just had everybody in it kind of, I mean, I feel like everybody in it did their job, you know, and I don't have too much to pick at specifically. I just don't, I didn't care I thought everything got wrapped up very conveniently in the end. And I have a giant note about most Fight Club movies, like most martial arts movies that have this premise, is that except for the betting, this isn't illegal. Like 90 out of 100 counties in the United States, you can just pay $50 a month and do this. Like you don't, that always kills me. But I'm going to give it 4. I'm going to give it exactly 5 out of 10 Home Depot bathrooms that are surprisingly nice.
So Matt definitely goes to Fight Clubs, right?
That's what we got out definitely. Of it. But yeah,
he looks like he brings the kegs
for sure.
Like a lot of you, I found that it worked more often than it didn't. Adrian, thank you so much for bringing up the soundtrack, because I completely forgot about it, because yeah, no my problem. Brain was trying to block that out, like Jason Bourne was having Treadstone fucking blocked out. I was just, it was so rough all the way through, and it's so in your face, and it actually may it's have actually terrible. Reduced my rating down a half a point with you bringing that up. I think that this is a solid comedy. I think that the best performances out of this movie are sadly the supporting cast, which sucks because I know Malin Ackerman is incredible at comedy when given the chance, and they don't give her enough to work with here.
Yeah, this is not Children's Hospital Malin Ackerman, unfortunately.
Yeah, this isn't Trophy's Wife. This isn't even fucking Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle Malin Ackerman. Like,
I thought she was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are great performances in here. Like I said, Alec Baldwin, Kevin Nash, every time they showed up, I got decent chuckles, but yeah, this isn't anything I'd recommend seeking out unless you're going for like an Alec Baldwin marathon and you're like, all right, well, I've reached like film number 50 and here I need another slot or something. Yeah, you can
this goes
this
perfectly after Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, right after Glengarry Glen Ross.
I couldn't hold it.
I will give this, I'll go 5.5 brass balls out of 10.
Hey, speaking of minor critiques of this movie, did anybody else notice, and it's a thing in movies, right? But did anybody else notice just how much they eat, drink, and throw away food in this movie?
No.
Yeah.
That's like there's yeah, a no, ridiculous amount
I
of...
I really only noticed how much drinking I
was. Yeah, which was like, oh man, that makes me feel sick.
There's a ridiculous amount of like food ordered, eaten and discarded in this. Somehow I think like showing women just like eating nachos is a way to show they're letting their hair down without showing them like doing coke or something, you know?
That's so goddamn funny.
And they do, there's just like, and to the point that it's kind of conspicuous. You're like, they're going to throw up if they eat that close to fighting. Like it's like swimming 20 minutes, but
you should add this to the IMDb trivia.
Yeah.
But... Matt, what's your eating regimen before you go to your fight club?
I actually, I don't eat too much before the fight club. I had a bunch of whiskey before a tough man match once. I drank like four or five White Russians in quick succession. Then I fought a Pac-10 offensive lineman. Don't advise that.
Well, now that's, we know who the One of Us bodyguard is.
Yeah, that's a good way.
You
ain't to
doing your protein shakes, bro. That's fuck it. That's bullshit, bro. Yeah. You gotta build the muscles.
It was pretty good. Like I had him behind my jab for about one round, and then I realized he could bench press 680 pounds because he did it pussy to my face.
My dumb ass thought that White Russians were protein shakes.
Yeah, I like if you really want to ride the train. You make them with Irish, whatever the Irish car bomb monster flavor, the brown Java monster, that'll send it. There is an energy drink that is White Russian flavored, and if you make a White Russian with it, yeah, it's called Java Monster. We're cutting, right?